Hello and welcome to the Sounds of Salisbury podcast. I'm Alex.
I'm Ellen.
And we're here to bring you the sounds of the Salisbury music scene.
And the voices of the community.
Woohoo!
So Alex, what have you decided this week's called? Because I still don't know.
Honestly, I really don't know what to call this episode. I've gone through lots of different ideas, like legend and superstar and rock star. Maybe we'll just call it Colin.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to call it Colin. Does that give you a clue as to who's on the show today?
It's got to be Colin Holton.
No, it's Colin, the guy who does the window cleaning.
He's legend. Legend.
Okay. It is Mr. Colin Holton.
Let's introduce Colin.
Hello, sir.
Oh, can you see me? Hello.
Yeah. How are you doing today?
All right. Yeah, thank you very much. This is great.
Excellent. It's wonderful to have you on the show. Obviously, we spoke at Wilton Live back in January, but it's great to be able to get you on and actually talk to you about you, your music, everything that you do. So let's dive straight into it. During my sort of research, I found that back in May 2010, so 14 years ago, there was a meeting of many musical luminaries and
me
and people. You were there.
Musical luminaries and
you.
Yeah.
Essentially, about to discuss the issues with the Salisbury music scene. I think it said that 5 venues had closed down, kind of the previous year, and to quote the thing, it said that the Salisbury music scene was fragmented, disorganized and lacking a sturdy center. How do you feel the Salisbury music scene is currently?
Obviously it's gone through, like everywhere, it's gone through it's bad patches, isn't it, with the epidemic and whatever. I mean, back before that, when we first started, just by default putting gigs on in Salisbury, I was counting the other day, actually. I was chatting to a mate that I did it with, and there were 28 venues in and around the town, pubs and clubs, that were doing some kind of live music, either weekly or monthly. And I suppose over since, 2007, I mean, I can't remember that far back. I can't remember last week, but Salisbury's always punched above its weight, I think, with our music scene. And that was mainly due to, Bass Connection, where a lot of the great bands started that have gone on to greatness, or it was just theirs and the amenity that really let the place breathe, as you know, for musicians, young and old. It was a great place at Grosvenor House in Churchfields, and so from that the whole music scene developed. And we had promoters and guys that have and we had the Arts Centre as well, of course, which was a circuit venue. So it's just, a lot of it was just by default and having that passion to do that. And you had like Rose and Keith Gale that started off Bass Connection, all those great bands. Some of them are still around now, some great musicians there. And I think it trundled along quite a speed with all these venues, all these bands. And we had a bit more freedom then as well. We could put on original bands because we had a lot more original acts that we could do that. So we'd just say, go and take over a venue, basically, and say, look, this is going to be this. It's going to be metal themed. It's going to be punk. It's going to be ska. And so the managers, and I think the managers that were managing these pubs had a bit more passion for the where they were. So they bought into the whole community thing. And so they were into it. I mean, I suppose a long-winded way, it has declined, especially in Salisbury now, with venues shutting down or not really wanting to buy into the music side of it. You don't get the same commitment from the management, because they seem to sort of like They're in there for a year and then they're off, and they don't seem to communicate with each other. So you've got this, well, what's that then? What's Salisbury Live? I mean, well, you know, it's been going here for a few years, and they just don't pass this information on. Obviously shut down, a new brewery to take over. So we have gone from having that 28, 29 venues to, at the moment, we've got, I don't know, what would you guys reckon? How many venues have we got in Salisbury now?
I mean, there's probably about, say, 14, 15. I could probably name about 8 off the top of my head that help with Salisbury Live anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to... it's not to say that they won't do it, but they're not consistent. Yeah. So you haven't got that scene. I mean, you've got your stalwarts like Winnie Gay, Georgian Dragon. You've got the Wig and Quill and all of Rob Wood's pubs as well that will do music. There's not that much of an outlet for the original artist as there was. So, I mean, that's the thing. That's our passion, I think, isn't it? It's original music, original bands, original singer-songwriters. Not to say that you can't do it, but it hasn't got that same clout that it used to have. And that's not dissing the venues. I mean, they're great. But I think a bone of contention at the moment is Brown Street shutting and Rude Giant taking over, and they've done nothing wrong because they are doing live music. We've got through John Williams, who's my mucker with Salisbury Live, running the Thursday night sessions down there, which is great. And they are doing live music, and they're gradually bringing it back in because that is a really, really great venue. It really has got a lot of promise. So,
and it looks amazing, you know, since they've taken over and they've revamped it. I mean, it's a lovely space to be.
Yeah. And I know that they are
a lot of people.
Yeah, they are thinking of doing. I can tell you that for a fact. They are considering doing music on Fridays and Saturdays. Then I know that. So it's just getting it back in because they went in there. They took it over, the Rude Giant brewery organization, and they are, you know, they need to get stuff on the feet, and they're doing nothing wrong. They just want to make it work, and it's sort of like keeping because Salisbury, as we will say, Smallsbury is not a massive place, so there's not a lot you can, you know, you cannot be in competition with each other all the time because it's just the, you know, the footfall is not there. So if you do, I know Rob Blake's really good at this, and I think I was, and dear old Tom Belt, we would always liaise and say, what are you doing next weekend? Right, I'm going to do this. So you didn't split your audience, and that's the thing.
I think Rude Giant arguably are trying to do more of a chilled vibe with their music. They're doing the Sofa Sessions on a Thursday, and I think they've got DeLorean's Acoustic down there tomorrow night. So I think they're trying to target their audience more for kind of a sit-down acoustic vibe. Whether it works for them,
I think from what, you know, what I can't divulge too much because I don't know too much, but I think from what I'm hearing, it will be a little bit more. It could be a little bit more sort of like diverse with what they have in there and what they do. So, you know, the door's open, isn't it? There, so
yeah.
And they have got a good management team. They are a good management team. So they I think they know, you know, what's needed, and it's just getting the right people in there to help run it or run it. So So it space, I think, with there. That's the thing. But anyway, I've just answered a question I could have answered in like two sentences in about a week there. But yes, it's still healthy. We have still got great acts. We've got good venues, and we've got people. We've got more people now, more as yourselves and promoters and people with the passion to actually get it out there, and people take notice, you know, and they want to play in Salisbury. But back in the day, everyone wanted to play in Salisbury and the Arts Centre because it was really the only venues that were around, you know. So,
I'm gonna go back in the day with my top 10 actually, so you can look forward to that at the halfway interval, Colin.
I was just listening to Lily's earlier on, Lily's interview. She said a lovely thing as well, which I think is relevant here, is that if you don't have hope, you don't have anything. I thought really sort of rung with me that, you know, and you can have all the help, all the support, all the bits of it, but if you haven't got hope, you don't have anything. That was a nice little bit of a tear to my eye. That it was lovely.
She was amazing. Yeah. She was great. Yeah, we can't wait to go to Evolution on Saturday night.
Brilliant.
So you obviously mentioned about the people that help to promote and to support, but there's also, you know, the need for, as bands move on or break up or, you know, break out, you know, look at Carsick, for example, you know, we might get a gig close to Salisbury every now and then, but they're doing fantastic things. Yeah. There's the need then to replace, and you're pivotal in that with regards to your role within Wiltshire College as well. So can you just sort of explain a little bit more about what it is you do there?
What do I do? I better be careful here. What do I do today? A lot of coffee and I don't know all the time. No, what do I do? Well, I do watch a lot of YouTube because the students watch it, and that's where it all is. So I've been there years. And it started off with the BTEC popular music courses. And now we run what we call, it's the UAL, which is University Arts London, which is much more fluid. You can do much more with UAL. The universities love it. The institutes like BIM, you know, it's for the musician, run by brilliant musicians. And so we've got a lot more scope, a lot more freedom because these guys want to come in and they want to express themselves. They're artistic people, you know, and that's what they get to do. And we've got so much, we can do so much. And that comes back to our work in the community as well, with the venues, you guys, the production companies like Brian and his Stage Tech, BSM Stage Tech, you know, and we're all lovely little happy family there. And he comes in and works with us as well and runs workshops. So everything's all encompassing, and the whole thing is a one-stop shop. So there's myself and Simon Birch, who himself is a great musician and a producer and a DJ, is him and I sort of run the Salisbury campus. There's one in Chippenham as well. We're all singing from the same hymn sheet, excuse the pun there. We're all, we all work to the UAL syllabus. And we've got a great team. We've got Finn, who's our techie, who's absolutely fantastic. And it's a very, very popular course. And it did dip a bit about 5-6 years ago. You know, you're sort of like not getting as many come in, but all of a sudden it's just gone. You know, it's very, very busy. So we run a level one course, which is a foundation, level two course, and a level three 2-year course. We used to run an HND, but we just didn't have enough room for that. So and I, like I said, I've been there years, and I think the reason they keep me on is because I've got so many contacts in the community, and so everything is so vocational with what they do. You know, that's basically what I do. Now, believe it or not, I know your listeners and your viewers are not going to believe this, but I'm a qualified teacher. And people, I laugh at that myself. I don't know. But, you know, so it is.
So when you qualify as a teacher, do you have to do, this is going to sound as a really stupid, vague question, it's nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but do you have to do like a generic teaching course, or do you specify?
A certificate of education. I did mine through the University of Greenwich, so it's a 2 or 3 year course, and you're teaching as well, so you're hands on, and that's a lot of people did not have hands on, but we were sort of in, on the co-face as well, so we were working as well, but you get a lot of people from the police and the army that have to become teachers and instructors as well, so it's a bit different for them. and a lot of medical people as well. So, but if you're just a, it's a, it is a generic teaching qualification, and then you can
specialised in music after.
Yeah, so it was that. Yeah, so I found it actually quite easy because I was doing it, and it, you've got a lot of red tape and a load of hurdles and, you know, hoops to jump through and whatever. But yeah, you know, so you get your qualification, put your silly hat on, and away you go. So, but basically, I'm not a teacher. I'm more of an instructor, and I do that point of that. Oh, have a go at that. But you never stop learning. You know, these guys come in, these girls and boys and whatever, they come in and they will do something. How do you do that? And they go, what? I said, how do you do that? Because you can pass that on to them. But as you know, you can never, you never stop learning. You know,
absolutely.
One of the guys was playing something and I said, and they just started playing the guitar. And I said, how do you do that? Well, I said, and I said, ah, right. That's great. I'm going to nick that, you know. So, yeah, it's great. Because that is, it keeps me young, you know. Yeah. I mean,
It's going back to the YouTube, isn't it? They've got all of their tutors on YouTube and then they come in and show you something new.
Yeah, we do look through the tutors at the YouTube, because some are, you know, as a seasoned sort of musician, you know that's wrong. You say, well, don't, that's not completely right, you know, that's not in the right key, or that's not done. So there are about four or five that I will go to and go, right, these are the guys that you need to be looking at and watching, you know. So, and the thing is, if I can understand it, anyone can. So, look at that.
So, you, when you put on certain events, you'll either do like a Wiltshire Creative showcase, and eventually we start to see people sort of explode out from that.
Yeah.
Currently, the name that we're seeing a lot of at the moment is Rosie J.
Yeah,
who I think is fantastic. She's got a wonderful tone to her voice, and she's got the original music that we've heard from her has been very, very good. She's lyrically got a wonderful way of thinking. Is there anybody else that you've got coming along that you want to give a shout out to, or is there somebody that you've had that you kind of proud of what they've done?
Yeah. Oh, there's. Who have we had? And let's start with Rosie. Rosie is just so, she's just on it all the time. You know, she will buy into it. She will play. She will write songs. But she has got a natural ability. She was sat down today in the classroom and just doodling away in lunch break and just came up with this idea and these lyrics and these melodies. And she works with others as well, because she's sort of like a mentor. So some of the level two groups, she's a level three student, which is A level. Level two is a sort of GCSE level. And there's not much difference in ability. It's just the academic side. So that's why they do that. But they're all there to do the same thing, as be creative. So it's a level playing field. But she will, again, she will just go in and work with these people. Just help out wherever, but her enthusiasm is absolutely infectious for the others as well. So she will write songs. She's in the studio this weekend, I think, with Jolene Dixon. It's Illingworth he's with, but he's a great, he's played with everyone, Pete Townsend, different people. He's played with loads of people, but again, just a lovely, lovely bloke and very, very clever. I hate him. He's so clever. He's great. So he's working with Rosie on a track that she's really enthusiastic about. But she is good, and she will do stuff. And there's another young lady, Seren Masculine, her name is, and she's a level two student that's just came into college. She was homeschooled. A lot of these guys are homeschooled. And you know, they're so creative and great. She just came in and did the level two because of the academic side of it, but is absolutely nailing it. And just went from this very shy singer-songwriter and just exploded one day. We were just doing a jam session, a sort of like a peer observation. Let's do some stuff in one of our rehearsal rooms. And she just sang this Ed Sheeran song, and then she sang one of her own songs. And it was great. And from that, she's gone off to do events, shows. And she's doing, as part of her final, what we call the final major project, she's going busking in Salisbury. She's got all the busking stuff. And she is just rocketed everything about her. Her confidence, everything is just, you know, gone sky high. And this just needed this, just that little push to say, right, off you go then. And she's playing at the Monday on the 11th.
That's right. Okay. I knew I'd seen her name.
She's doing that, and she's again, she's sort of like done some bits and pieces with Rosie, so she's really good. We've got a great band as well in her second years. They haven't done that much out, but they're called Carver. They always tell me off for getting the name wrong. Anyway, I think it's if they listen to the first thing, put me right, but they they're sort of just all instrumental, but really, really in your face. You know your intro music you play.
Yeah,
they. It reminds me of them, that their music, and they're pretty. They're just experimental, but they are great. And they were going to play with Lovers Enough at the
Aiden Brewery,
but they. Two of the guys were in hospital, had to go to hospital. Not serious, but they had to go to hospital. They're fine, but they are really, really good. And I'd like to get them out and about and do a little bit more. And there are the guys from, what are they called? The Undeciders, they're called. And they're a bunch of first years that are, they can write their own stuff. And I'm going to give them a bit of a sort of like a telling off here. They're so good at writing their own material, but they're not confident enough. But as singers and musicians, they are fantastic. You're going to see a lot more of them over the next year.
Excellent. So they're the ones playing at the Art Centre, weren't they?
Yes, the showcase at the Art Centre. And that was their big leg of, now that you can't stop them, they're just, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And, you know, they are really, really sort of... again, really real naturals. They're just the harmonies when the three girls sing together are fantastic, you know. And you think, well, almost, you know, can you just do an a cappella just to start off with, just to showcase those brilliant harmonies, you know. They are really, really good, and they're very, very, very it's almost professional the way they pre-produce as well. They didn't go straight into a rehearsal room, you know, a thousand decibels and, you know, beat the hell out of everything. They will pre-produce, get it right. And this is sort of like, we guide them like that. So go off and do, you know, get that right first. And you know that you've got it right. You can go and sort of put it together like a building a house. But they just go and do that. I'm so proud of them. That's great.
Yeah, we loved watching them, and I loved that, you know, some of them where they were swapping instruments. So it shows that they're, you know, multi-talented musically. Yeah. And I think the person that caught my eye, the bassist, just looked so cool
on the
bass. You know, we're used to seeing Nick Gowman bounce around and he's, you know, he catches your eye all the time. But the fact that he was just sort of stood there and he owned that bass, I was quite impressed with the... Yeah. Young talent that's coming through Salisbury. I'm very excited to see what they do next.
Yeah, they are. I mean, yes, that's just, again, that was fueled in the early days by the likes of Bass Connection and that. And that's why it became so popular. So, yeah
it's amazing. So from new talent to, no disrespect whatsoever, old talent, you are incredibly busy within the Salisbury music scene at the moment. I count four current acts that you are performing with. And so we've got Lump, we have got Puncture, we have got Passenger Club, and we've got Pie Shop.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them give us, like, we're gonna have to change Lump to Plump.
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah. I wonder why.
I mean, that could be the advert there for Greg's if you're going to go with Plump. I love that. That's brilliant. I mean, you play with all of those. It's wonderful seeing you out there live. obviously, you record music with Lump and with Passenger Club. You recently released All the King's Men with Passenger Club. Yeah. What keeps you going in those respects? Is it the music? Is it the people? Four bands is that's a lot.
I could say hanging on out of spite, just doing it. It's just you know, and they're going to laugh at, well, they do laugh at this, especially the lads from Passenger Club. I was going to knock it on the head. I said, that's it, I'm not playing anymore, doing anything, about 4 or 5 years ago, and I got busier. You just can't, you know, stop doing it, do it, can you? Yeah, and I've known people that have done it, but people I played in bands these years, and I'm knocking it on the head, I'm hanging my guitar up. How and why would you do that, you know? So it's just great. Because I think I'm a scholar. Well, I say scholar of music, that's a bit pretentious, but I love music. I love music of all kinds. Not too keen on opera, but I've been to an opera, so I know. But I like music of all kinds. It takes me back to the back in the day when I used to do a lot of session work, session playing on the bass guitar session work. So yeah. you'd learn. You'd be a sort of what you call a jack of all trades, but again, it's an old adage. The first thing we tell the guys at college is you can't reinvent the wheel. There's only so many intervals, so many chords and melodies and things. You know, you're going to sort of like your melodies. There's going to be something near, you know, it's not plagiarism, but you might have subconsciously heard it, or if you haven't, you because melodies are melodies, but chord sequences, rhythms, and beats and things are, you know. You, they're just there, and you know, the only thing that makes a lot of these songs different probably is the melodies and the light and shade and the dynamics of a song. So, but I just love any of it. And you can take any piece of music, three chords, and it's the way you play those chords will define the genre of that music. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just there. So I love the folk. I love the punk, I really like that, you know, the metal, indie, I like it all, you know. I don't own a Beatles album, but I know probably most of the Beatles songs, you know. So I've got a crap, can I say that, record collection, but I just about know everything, because it's all sort of, it's like a sponge, you know. I mean, I do own records and CDs and downloads and things, but you know, I'm not an avid collector of music. I just personally just know it and I love it. And certain things will catch me, and I go, oh, "What is that?" And so I will then sort of follow that and listen. And I've got a collection of my favourite songs, you know, like everyone has, and it's so diverse. But I think that's the thing. You just got to be into everything, haven't you? And yeah. But you're going to find similar I do with all kinds of music and all, but it's the way it's presented and it's the way it's the way, you know, it's just the way, you know, lyrics get me, certain lyrics, certain melodies, drum beats and things. I'm getting a bit passionate, aren't I? But I love it. It's just that, you know. So the Passenger Club do our stuff. So I'll write songs in that, and they've got five singers and five songwriters there. That, you know, we all have a bash at that. That's great. Lump is more about, that was put together for one gig about 10 years ago to do the Lump Chronicles, which we released. And then we had a narrator. And then we thought, well, that worked. Let's just go out and make a row and sing about Salisbury. And that's great. I mean, I love that because you've got something to hang your coat off there. So you've got a license, you know, just how can we make that relevant to Salisbury? Well, easy. So we will, you know, that's good. Puncture is my, that's the music. It really woke me up was the sort of early punk and the stuff that came after that, you know, the American punk bands and things afterwards. I just love that. So we just go out and play our favourite songs, not very well. But we play them, you know, and I'm of the sort of like, right, you know, if I hear a song and I have to learn it and there's certain bits I can't play, which happens a lot, I just won't do that. Would you leave that bit out? You know, you get the sonic trick, you know, and bumble your way through the rest. But it's just great. You just get up there and do it, you know, like yeah. The touch paper. And Pie Shop is just a, you know, that again. Kickstarted a lot of this off. Me and Neil was in the Badge Man, which was a great old band back in the day, and I was in mad cow disease back then, and we just met outside of a pie shop. I said, let's call formal band and call it Pie Shop. Yeah, all right. But we've written some great, as far as I'm concerned, some great, great songs, because he's as mad as a bag of snakes, Neil. And it's just great music. Neil Hancock.
So we've just, for people who are watching, that is a mad cow disease pick there, because we're going to go into some of your older bands as well. So Mad Cow Disease, the QT, you were in the Kitchens for a little while before Ruth Jones, I believe. Under Twang.
Under Twang, yeah. Oh,
there we go. A little bit of them. And and also the Almighty Inbreds with Paul Di'Anno.
That was fun.
Is insane.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. I mean, and that's just the few that I've been able to, you know, to find. But I'm sure there are probably loads more.
There are a couple more, I think. Yeah. But it's just, well, what you're going to find is you look at all those pictures, most of those musicians will crop up again. It's very incestuous. You know, one guy that runs mostly all the way through is Attila, the keyboard player. I think I've been just in about every band with Attila, Ian Marshall, another fantastic musician. But he will crop up in most of our stuff. And I've even roped him in to do some lump stuff soon. So, but Ian Marshall, but you will find that it's the same people, you know, because they're the only people that put up with me. So. But it's great. You know, it's, it's, from my personal point of view, you know, it just, until you said that about all the bands that I'm in at the moment, or I'm affiliated with, I didn't think it was that many. It's four that are on the go any one time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, as I say, it's just, thanks for putting up with it.
If you could bring one of your old bands back, which one would it be?
We've all had good times. I think the one that started off is just, they all start off with just, oh, let's go and do this. Like Lump, just start off with just do one thing. We're going to do one event and one, you know, and it's just gone on and on and on. But I think the band that just started off after watching Napalm Death at the West India Club in Southampton, me and Ant Roberts and I, who was the marketing manager at Salisbury, at the Art Centre at the time, went down and said, this band, Napalm Death, went down and seen Napalm Death in this West India Club. So you had all the old boys playing dominoes in the corner, drinking rum with us. We joined them. And then this grindcore death metal band came on, and it was just brilliant. I said, we got to book them for the Art Centre, because that was the start of the Art Centre stuff. And they came and played the Art Centre, and 450 tickets we sold in a day.
I think I was one of them.
Sorry?
Yeah, I think I was one of those.
Bless you. Yeah, so they came along there, and they just became, we toured with them actually as well. But they came along, and me and John Maple, he was the bar manager, and he said, we could do this, couldn't we? We could form. So we just formed this stupid band we called Mad Cow Disease, because Mad Cow was happening, you know, the disease, obviously. And we just wrote songs like Give Me Tea or Give Me Death, Real Chickens Don't Eat Sheep, Pelican Panic. And they were just nonsense, but great fun. And that just, you know, cut a long story short, John Peel, because we always listened to John Peel, you know, that was it. We'd listen to John Peel, and he said, there's a, you know, quite surprised there's not a band called Mad Cow Disease. And I thought, well, there is. So we sent him a fax, and he said, I'd like to hear that. So we did a demo on cassette and sent it to him, and he started talking about it. Then he played it. And then we got a record deal for some reason. Kerrang bought into it, Enemy and Melody Maker, and he played our albums from back to front. So, and it just started off as a complete joke, and it just escalated on, you know. So it was great, and it was just complete nonsense, but it was absolutely brilliant to do. And so the places we played and the bands we toured with, you know, it was great. It's what you call your 15 minutes of fame, I think. if I could, I'd bring them back for a couple of gigs. You'd be deaf and dead, I think, but it'd be great to do it.
I look forward to that.
Oh, that's brilliant.
A great little session, actually. So, yeah. Oh, what you're doing here? I was like, this is your life.
Well, if anyone's interested in looking back at the Salisbury scene, there's a Facebook group called Hold Tight and Endless Beat, which has got loads and loads of archive photos and information about all the bands that used to be in the Salisbury music scene. And that originated from a book called Hold Tight, Voices of the Sarum Sounds by Frog Moody and Richard Nash. So please go and check out their Facebook page.
I've got to give a shout out to Frog. Well, sorry, because yeah. I was in loads of bands with Frog. Me and Frog. He was in the Cuties and the Strugglers, who were a Stranglers tribute band. So, yeah, Frog and I have... I could tell you a few stories, but I won't be able to do it here.
I think his band has just been added to Figglefest in July as well, which Lump are playing as well. So yeah. It's a huge lineup for that. We can't wait for it. It's going to be brilliant. We're big Figglefest fans. So
and Frogs, the Diamond Frogs, as he's called.
That's great. It. Yeah,
they're playing May. They're playing the Avon Brewery gig. So
brilliant. Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break and then we are going to be hitting the top 10. So here we go. So Ellen, you alluded to a top 10 earlier. This is normally my territory, so this is like the second time you've done a top 10. So away you go.
Well, because now we're changing it up a bit, so we're just having one guest. So I need something to do on the music best. So, top 10. So I've decided the top 10 this week are bands that have played in Salisbury in the past. And, Alex has taken the controller so that I can concentrate on my piece of paper.
Here we go.
So at number 10, we have the Eagles. They played at the City Hall on the 30th of August, 1963. Don't get excited. It's not the USA Eagles that played. I can't think what they played now. California?
Yeah.
It's not them because they didn't form till 1971. So I did my research. But these were best known as instrumental rock. And they toured most of 1963 with their Smash Hits album. And then later on went to tour with the likes of Stevie Wonder and Dionne Warwick. So they played at the City Hall back in 1963.
I am a little disappointed it's not the Eagles.
But... You saw the picture.
I know. I saw the picture and I'm like, that doesn't look like the Eagles.
Picture has she found?
Okay.
It's not them. It is the Eagles that actually played at the City Hall. So they're moving on to number 9, again at the City Hall in April 1967. We had Pink Floyd.
Is that the real Pink Floyd?
The real Pink Floyd, excellent. Yeah. They were debuting their album, The Piper at the Gates of Dawn, which, I best know Pink Floyd for obviously Another Brick in the Wall. It's my favourite. And I nearly had tickets to go to the Berlin concert back in 1990, but that's another lifetime ago, another story.
It's another story.
Yeah.
Okay, number 8.
Number 8, we have the Bee Gees. They played the Gaumont, which is now the Odeon in Salisbury, in April 1968. So they played there with their orchestra. They probably had an orchestra. No, I don't. So straight off the back of their tour of Australia. And it's just before they signed with Polydor.
Wow.
And obviously before Stayin' Alive and Night Fever came out. But, yeah. So like Colin was saying earlier, Salisbury really was on the circuit for the early music scenes back in the day.
Well, that's cool. You're not going to beat the Bee Gees, are you? But number 7?
Number 7. At the City Hall, back in June 1973, we had David Bowie. And that was actually the year that the Aladdin Sane album came out with the iconic lightning bolt makeup down his face.
David Bowie.
David Bowie played the City Hall in 1973. I most remember him when he did his Live Aid with Mick Jagger back in 19. I think that's when I first loved David Bowie.
Seriously, the next few are going to be mental if David Bowie only made it to number 7.
Well, it's obviously is my preference.
Oh,
so number 6, we have Cliff Richards and the Shadows. So back in 1961, he came and played the Gaumont, which again is now the Odeon. I think they should turn the Odeon back into a music venue. I think we should champion that, Colin. What do you think? Take out the screen. Let's have some live music. Cliff Richard was my mum's favourite. So he was 21 years old when he came and played in Salisbury.
Right.
Number 5. Alex will know this one very well. It's the Manic Street Preachers. Is that them?
That is them, yeah.
That's not a picture I recognise.
That's not the picture that you chose. I chose one where they were actually performing.
Oh, it's actually them performing. So they played at Salisbury College back in 1992.
And I was there. And I was actually on stage being one of the most useless, like, kind of please keep off the stage people ever. And Colin, not our Colin, but Colin, I can never remember what his second name is, the guy who used to run Standout all those years ago, jumped up on the stage and stole one of the microphones. And I was like, well, this is cool. It's brilliant. They were a phenomenal band live. They were absolutely fantastic. It was, I think we had like 4 or 5 gigs at the college when I was there. And they were, the standout. They'd literally just released their debut album and they were phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, and note to everyone at Salisbury Live, do not have Alex be a bouncer, because clearly anyone's going to stage bomb if Alex is there.
Yeah.
All right, number 4. So back in 1964, at the City Hall, the Kinks played. And that's phenomenal. This is just before they went to the USA during the British invasion of 1965, where they were actually banned on their tour in America.
Oh.
Yeah, they had a disagreement and issues with their promoter, so they were banned. But before then, they played the City Hall in Salisbury.
Okay.
Right, number 3, Led Zeppelin. 1971, at the City Hall, Led Zeppelin played. And, yeah, I don't know what else I can say. That's a phenomenon. We do have a great local covers band now called Zed Zeppelin. That they're playing one of the
we'll get to that later.
Yeah. But
they are sensational.
They are.
So you've got two left. At number
Here
3
go. Number
you've
two.
Got no We've at got number two left. I know, but at number 3 you've got Led Zeppelin.
Yes.
So at number 2 you must have
Supergrass. All right, not everyone's going to agree with my ordering of this, but this is my order. 1998. I mean, they were at their height. This is 2 years after they played Glastonbury. They came and they played the City Hall in Salisbury. That's huge. Love Supergrass.
Bless them.
All right.
Quality. And so at number 1.
At number 1. This is going to be a no-brainer. The Beatles, back in 1963, played the City Hall. I'm pretty sure my Auntie Shirley went to this. And she has got lots of stories.
Lots of stories.
Lots of stories, but I will not tell her stories for her. But yeah, the Beatles played in Salisbury. This goes to show how if we got ourselves back on the circuit, how great Salisbury would be.
Wow.
I do actually have a question. If anyone wants to, by the way, if anybody wants to see historically who's played in Salisbury, there is a website, which is where I found these, and it's www.bbc.co.uk/Wiltshire bbc.co.uk/content. Oh, it's really long, but you can find it on the BBC website. I'm going to read the whole thing out. It goes on, lots of forward slashes.
We'll put a link on our website and on Facebook for anyone who's interested. It does list like all of the different venues and all of the acts that that performed and when they performed. Yeah. And yeah, you said about you had a question.
I do, yeah. So between 1967 and 1973, I know you weren't around then, Colin, because you're too young, but there was a thing called Alex Disco. Do you know what Alex Disco is?
There was, again, if you go back to Frog's book, Richard's book, it was the Alexander Rooms, which are where the law courts were in New Street, was the Alexander Rooms, and I think they called it Alex Disco. And there are a few bands they had playing in there as well.
Yeah, loads of bands, but I googled and I couldn't locate where Alex Disco was.
It's right on the corner. It's a bit, I think they're solicitor's offices now, but it was right on the corner there. And I think as I say, in one of the books Frog and Richard wrote, there's a little piece of the history of that place as well. And going back to the manor in Salisbury, just reminded me, I was going through a load of old sort of bits of pieces I keep over the years, and the Manic supported the Levellers at the Art Centre, one of the first gigs we put on. They supported them, and I've found the contract signed by James, their singer, Dean, is it?
Bradshaw Field.
£25. I've still got that signed by him. It's brilliant. Yeah.
That's inflation. We'll call it inflation.
Incredible. Yeah. Well, we're just going to take a little break and then we'll be back.
I hope you enjoyed that top 10.
That was great.